Looks like Dave might have frozen on me.
I can do that.
Oh, oh, there you go.
Council President Curry. Alder Evers is excused. Alder Verveer?
Here.
Alder Ritiver?
Here.
Alder Madison?
Here.
Alder Rummel?
Present.
Mayor Yavorin?
Thank you. All right. We have no general, sorry, I'm trying to do screen management here. No general public comment. So are there any disclosures or recusals on today's agenda from members of the committee? Seeing none, Christine, if you could just let the record show that President Curry is here. Then we'll move on to the consent agenda. We have registrants wishing to speak on item 23. And then there is a presentation on item 49 if Alders would like to see it. That's a yes, so we'll exclude that item. Discussion items are 50 and 51, and then we have a closed session item 52. So those items will be excluded from the consent agenda. Again, that's 23, 49, 50, 51, and 52. Are there additional items that members of the body would like to have excluded from the consent agenda? Alder Rummel.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like a clarification on item 10. Whether what happened post with the budget versus what's before us that was introduced before. And then also item 20.
Item 20. Although I can tell you briefly that HR did not recommend any changes to item 10 after the budget process.
I guess I'd like more explanation about like what that means, considering
okay.
What happened. Thanks.
Alder Verveer.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question or two on agenda item number 15, please.
Item 15. Right. Any additional items for exclusion? Seeing none, then we will exclude items 10, 15, 20, 23, 49, 50, 51, and 52 from the consent agenda. Should I repeat that list? No, everybody's got it. And then President Curry, a motion on the balance of the agenda.
Sorry. There's a little background in my environment that I was paying attention to move to adopt.
Yeah. Thank okay. you, President Curry. Is there a second?
Second.
It moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda. Questions, discussion? Any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of the consent agenda? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of the consent agenda. We'll go to item 10, which is Legistar 80626, creating a new classification of public information officer and the associated items with that. President Curry, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Moved and seconded to adopt. Alder Rummel, questions for staff?
Thank you. I understand this looks like the original new position and what happened, and just can you help us understand, Director Hilson, what post-budget, what that, with its variations, what this all means going forward?
Sure, thank you, Alder. So the position was originally created and reviewed by our Human Resources Services section at a PIO 3 level, and anticipating a hiring at step 3 of that range. And so what the adjustment did is just required that it's still hired at a PIO 3 level, but it's hired at step 1 instead of step 3. You could actually, you could do it a couple of ways to see that savings. The mayor's office could delay hiring for a period of time and then hire it at a different step. But it's only funded at a step 1 level, but it's still in the same classification. So when you see PIO 3, it's because the classification didn't change. It's just the hiring step that changed.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you, Alder. Other questions on item 10? It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 10. Go on to item 15, which is Legistar 80843, authorizing the execution of a purchase and sale agreement with Madison Area Technical College for surplus property on Badger Road, otherwise known as Fire Station 6. And item 15, President Alder Rivera, motion?
Please move adoption.
There a second? Alder Madison will second. Item 15 has been moved and seconded. Alder Vivier, questions for staff?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor. And I'm pleased to see that Chief Carbon is with us. Chief, I had a couple of questions about the temporary Station 6 at the former town hall and now how that will work for your horses. Obviously, many of us recall that we had supported a budget initiative to renovate, to remodel Station 6 in large part to provide for separate gender facilities for your firefighters there. So what I'm curious about is, knowing that the former town department was housed in this location, how are their former facilities, how do they compare to the existing Station 6 facilities in all respects, including apparatus-based space and living quarters, and how this will work in terms of separate gender facilities? Will that be possible for the few years that your colleagues will be over on Fish Hatchery Road?
Yeah, thank you, Alder. I think overall, the facility itself is not, certainly not in any better condition than our existing facility. And it's not any more modernized than what we experience right now in terms of addressing those needs. I do think that we'll do our very best as we take the next steps to start making plans to prepare it for living 24/7, which is certainly a different situation than what we've experienced thus far. As we make those plans, we'll do everything we can to prepare and make sure that we can address the needs to the best of our ability. It's a little difficult to answer. We've got multi-use in the facility right now, and as we firm up the plans for a more permanent station use in that 24/7 model, I think that'll be part of the conversation. I don't have more concrete plans for you just because we're not that far along in the development of the specific use plan of the station. But I'm confident that it will serve our needs, at least in the same capacity that Station 6 does right now. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. What's the timeline for your move, and how long do you anticipate being on Fish Hatchery Road?
It's a great question. Director Walker and I just actually spoke about it a little bit this afternoon, and I could probably defer to his office to develop the timeline a little bit better than I can. But I anticipate, you know, at least 6 to 9 months of prep time for us to plan and prepare for a move.
Director Walker?
I was just going to add, yes, so the item before you, the purchase and sale agreement, some of the conditions that Madison College has to have before they could purchase is that they need to go through the whole land use entitlement process, which they haven't started yet. So as you know, that takes a significant amount of time. So that would bring us into the, you know, well into 2024, which would give us time to plan for the move and do all of that work while Madison College plans for their project. So they need to both go through the entitlement process with us, but then they have to go through their own internal process to get all of their funding, and they have to bid the project and do all the things that, you know, any unit of government has to do to build a building. So it's certainly not happening, you know, first thing in 2024. We have time to plan.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. So, but you do assume it will be in 2024.
So one of their funding sources is they are using ARPA funds as part of the project. So they have a timeline where they need to be spending those federal dollars. So they're motivated to move quickly, but we are very early in their design process.
Thank you. And then lastly, Mayor, this might be for Director Schmidicke, or whoever would like to could answer it for me. And that is the fiscal note for this specific resolution doesn't mention anything about city costs for the fire department relocation and renovation of the space for however long it will be. Is that because there's existing already adopted prior year capital budget expenditure authority that will cover that cost? I remember that we had a budget line item, I believe probably in facilities, that covered town hall renovations, like for the parking enforcement staff and so forth. Are all the fire costs covered there, or is that to be determined? I see Maggie turned her camera on. So did the chief. Whoever would like to answer that. And Dave, I muted too. So anyone?
Alder Vervier, the budget, there was a budget for the renovation of the facility. And I think that included some of the whatever was needed at the town hall for that move originally. That budget is still there. And then that was augmented by what's in the 2024 budget. So all that carries over into 2024. That helps.
Was there, I'm not familiar with specifically. So Dave, you're saying, and it's in facilities, I presume, that there is sufficient capital budget authority to cover all of the fire departments?
That's our understanding, yes. Okay. Yep. In terms of the information we got from both PCE and from engineering facilities.
And I'd find that in the latter's capital budget. Correct, Dave?
I'm not sure exactly where it is. I think it's in engineering facilities, though, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you all. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. There are further questions on item 15? If not, it's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 15. Go on to item 20. Item 20 is Legislature 80810, approving the allocation of affordable housing funds to the Wisconsin Housing Preservation Corporation and St. John's Lutheran Church. On item 20, President Curry, a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Alder Rummel, a second. Moved and seconded. Alder Rummel, you had questions?
Thank you, Mayor. I do. I have no questions about the need for the money. That was well explained, but I am intrigued and interested in the letter sent in by WHDC about the reasons for the ask, which involved a special sewer assessment. And this is probably very, like, Jim doesn't need his camera on for this because it's not so much about the affordable housing fund, but I would like to have some report to the finance committee about the sewerage costs that have apparently at the seemingly 11th hour turned out to be really expensive and unexpected for developers. And I've heard about it from, you know, first this letter and then something in my district and now a third developer. And I would just like to learn more about what's going on with sewerage costs going up, for asking for more sizing up pipes, et cetera.
Thank you, Alder. It's an excellent question and one that has been the subject of much conversation between my office and engineering and PCED generally. You're correct. It's not a question for Director O'Keefe. And I'm looking to see who it might be a question for. Who is on today? Director Wachter, I feel like you may draw the short straw on this one.
Sure. So there has not been a policy change by engineering that's triggering new pipes or bigger pipes or things like that. I think part of what happens is these costs don't get finalized until the project is a bit, you know, towards the end of it, of its process. And some of what we're seeing is that a project like WHPC, from the time that they came in for the Affordable Housing Fund and started putting together their tax credit application and things like that, they've had multiple things get more expensive. So their construction costs in general went up millions of dollars. Interest rates went up significantly over this time. And all of that started eating up contingency and all the cushion that's in the deal. And then when they get a bill for the sewer pipe that's higher than they expected, it might be the straw that broke the camel's back, but there are millions of dollars of costs that happened along the way that any one of those things kind of led to where they are. But yes, you're right. We've seen multiple projects in this last year when they get this charge from engineering for the sewer pipe that needs to be upgraded, because you're going from, you know, a use that's a relatively small user of sanitary sewer to having hundreds of apartments, and it triggers the need for significant pipe. That cost coming at the end is just, again, it's on top of all of these construction cost increases and interest charges that happened over the course of the entitlement process. But it's my understanding that this has always been the case, that they're told that there's going to be a charge early on when they go to DAT, for example. But until it's finalized, they don't know the exact cost of what it's going to be. But there has not been a policy change for engineering recently on this.
Thank you, Director Wachter. And I appreciate that you met with me and Alder Amani about this topic probably now 2 months ago. But what I kind of would like to focus on and some kind of staff report would be when development is in a transit-oriented development overlay district where we're expecting growth, how are, these private developers, what's the balance of who pays for what? And for example, the one that, you know, in Alder Amani's district on Sherman Avenue, it went from 10-inch pipes to a request for 15-inch pipes. But 16-inch pipes would trigger a different kind of category. And so, like, I just am interested in learning more about, are we approaching the TOD overlay and growth with infrastructure in mind? So I would appreciate more information. Thank you.
Yeah, Alder, there's an active conversation about that policy right now. So I think, not sure if it would be yet this year, but certainly before early next, we're likely to have a policy proposal on that front.
Thank you, because Mayor, I'm thinking about, like, if we should call pipes in TOD districts regional, just as a plot device, so that they'd be covered by TIF accessible costs.
Yeah, so, I think we're thinking in very similar directions, Alder.
Okay, well, because I want to work on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Other questions on item 20? Seeing none, it's been moved and seconded. Is there a discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 20. And we'll go on then to item 23. Item 23 is Legistar 80938. It's amending certain resolutions and extending the commencement deadline related to tax increment financing in the Ross Street 1 and Ross Street 2 limited partnership projects. On item 23, President Curry, a motion?
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Alder Vidover will second. And we have one registrant wishing to speak on item 23, Jennifer Argelander of Erie Court.
Thank you for giving me the time. I'm actually speaking in opposition just because I think this requires more discussion rather than just pushing this down the road again. So the question is, why is this extension needed? Why is the construction over a year behind in schedule? What about all the repeated delays? Joe Grimacki, the TIF coordinator, stated in his memorandum of June 20th, 23, that millions of public dollars will be used to finance LAC's housing project. In addition, the city is further subsidizing this project by buying land from LAC, which, by the way, they don't own yet, at a price per acre many times what the city assessor says the land is worth. What are the issues that have delayed approval by the engineering division and other requirements? WEDA gave LAC a temporary exemption allowing the Hartmeyer project to receive certain qualified census tract tax credits. So when do these exemptions expire? Is the Hartmeyer project feasible without those credits? In addition, LAC is already cutting corners by removing balconies and reducing window space, thereby reducing quality of life to those in affordable housing. But what other corners will they be cutting? So before approving this extension, I just think you should discuss what the problems are. And from my opinion, it appears that LAC has taken on more than they can handle. Thank you.
Thank you. That's our only registrant on this item. Are there questions for the registrant? Seeing none, thank you. On item 23, it's been moved and seconded. Are there questions for staff? Alder Rummel?
Thank you, Mayor. If someone from staff could address the questions of the registrant, just so we understand what's going on.
Looks like Director Michalajewski is here.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Alder Rummel. Really, where we're at right now is the developer is finalizing getting their basically financing in place to move forward in both city financing and private financing. And they're very close to doing so. But looking at the calendar, we realize that after they have finalized their financing, it does take time to mobilize to start construction of the project. And realistically, given that we are now at the end of November, they likely won't be able to mobilize and physically start constructing the project by the end of the year. Given how close, though, we are with wrapping up the financing documents, both on our side and their private financing, we felt that providing an additional 3 months for them to mobilize and start the construction of the project seemed very reasonable. So again, we are in the process of wrapping up financing, and that'll lead to closing, and then they should be starting construction early in the new year.
Just one follow-up question. Jennifer mentioned something about like changing like the balconies or, you know, like degrading in some way the quality of these units. Is that something that you're aware of, Matt?
I'm aware that the developer was having conversations with the planning division about what changes could be made, but I'm not aware of what those specific changes are or where they're at in that process.
Thank you.
And yeah, although I'm not seeing anybody from planning who could speak to that. Any additional questions on item 23? Then it's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion on item 23? Seeing none, is there objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we're recording a unanimous vote in favor of item 23. And move on. To item 49, which is Legistar 80860, the 2023 year-end appropriation resolution. And let's start with a motion. President Curry?
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt. Christine?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll share the brief presentation I sent by email right before this meeting. Just give me 1 minute to pull everything up on my screen. All right. So this presentation summarizes the general fund portion and general fund projection for the year end. This table has a summary of the revenues and expenses for year end. And just to note, there have been some updates to the revenue projection. We were using some numbers that were pulled in October, and there are some updates in November. So there will be an updated version attached by tomorrow that will change this and increase the surplus that we're anticipating at the end of the year, but I'll walk through what we have right now. General fund revenues are projecting to be under budget based on these numbers by about $2.4 million. The majority of that is just a technical adjustment of how we accounted for ARPA money that went through the grant fund instead of the general fund. And then the remaining $400,000 was estimating some, that was how we were projecting out some local revenues. And that's the portion where I mentioned we're actually anticipating more of a surplus than what we're showing here. In terms of agency expenses, agencies do have some of their own revenues that they bring in, and agency revenues are projecting to be slightly under budget by about $200,000. And overall agency expenditures are projecting to be to have a surplus of about $13.6 million. So that's underspending in the agencies for a net expenses of the agencies to be under budget by about $13.4 million. So you take the total, the projection for revenues and expenses, and we are looking at a surplus of about $11 million. With some of the revenue projection estimates, we actually anticipate this to be a surplus of about $12.2 million. So explaining some of the revenue variances, as I mentioned, just based on our October numbers, general fund revenues at that time were projecting to be $2.4 million below target, and most of this was a technical adjustment in ARPA funds. In the 23 budget, we transferred $2 million of ARPA for the Endowment for Homeless Shelter Operations to the Unsheltered Homeless Support Project, and we showed that as transferring the $2 million from the grant fund to the general fund, and in the end, we, instead of transferring it across funds, we kept that all in the grant fund. So there was no change in how much we, in the projects that were funded or the total allocation. It's just where the money was sitting. And then the $400,000, the remainder of that difference is related to adjustments to other local revenues. On the expense side, the total general fund expenses are projecting to be $13.5 million below budget, and there are three places that account for most of this underspending. So three agency budgets account for 10.2 million of the 13.5. So the first agency is Community Development Division, and that's 4.2 million under budget. The first portion is that ARPA component that I mentioned earlier with revenues. So again, we kept the ARPA money in the grant fund and didn't transfer it into the general fund. That money is still being used for unsheltered homeless support. It's just an accounting presentation issue. The second component of the underspending is related to a one-time funding for the endowment for homeless shelter operations. Originally, this was planned to be an ARPA-funded project, and we found out that we couldn't use ARPA money for that purpose. So the 23 budget allocated a one-time allotment of general fund money to seed that endowment. And research and planning for how to execute that is still ongoing, and CDD doesn't anticipate they'll be able to encumber the funds before end of year. That work and planning is still ongoing, and this may be requested in the 24 mid-year appropriation or through a separate resolution in the future once the implementation plan is finalized. And then the remaining 200,000 or so that's underspent is pretty consistent with what we're seeing in other agencies in terms of salary savings and some modest underspending in non-personnel costs like supplies and purchase services. The largest category where we're seeing underspending is within direct appropriations, and this is where we have centrally budgeted funds for a variety of purposes. This is projecting to be 4.9 million under budget, primarily related to underspending for compensated absence escrow. So the city budgets centrally for comp absence escrow, which is paid out to retirees as a benefit, and we budget $4 million centrally. We've the year-end appropriation allocates a little over $1 million to agencies where that payout is creating a deficit, but most agencies have been able to absorb that cost within their budget due to underspending in other areas. In addition, direct appropriations is where we budget for contingent reserve, which is a 0.5% of the total expenditure budget, and it's set aside to cover various deficits, emergency uses, or other purposes. And this for 2023, we had 1.9 million budgeted. The year-end appropriation proposes transferring a little over 600,000 to various agencies where they're projecting deficits. And that leaves an additional 1.2 million. And then there's also underspending related to the one-time bonuses in 2023. If you remember during the budget deliberations for 2023, the budget included a one-time $1,000 per employee bonus that was funded through a premium, through a surplus in the premium stabilization fund related to some of the city's life insurance policies. We just overestimated what that would cost. So there was a bit of a remainder in that salary line. So direct appropriations is kind of the largest bucket where we centrally budget for some costs, and those costs weren't as high as what we anticipated. And then in terms of agency budgets, the budget where we're seeing the largest surplus is in police. That's $1.1 million below budget, and that's primarily driven by personnel costs. They're projecting to be about $915,000 under in terms of both salaries and benefits, primarily due to being underspending in permanent wages. And then there's some underspending in supplies and purchase services as well. We don't list out every other agency, but in terms of all the other general fund agencies, there's an average underspending of about $130,000 per agency, but there's a pretty big range where some agencies are underspending by as much as $600,000. And there are very few agencies that are projecting a deficit of up to $90,000. Agencies with deficits tend to be very small agencies that don't have a lot of turnover. And so if they don't hit salary savings targets, they'll show up, or if they have double fills, they might show up as having a deficit. So there are a couple of places, overall agencies have been underspending, primarily related to salary savings and vacancies. And then in terms of the resolution itself, there are a few main sections. The first is related to contingent reserve. So this is transferring money from the $1.9 million we set aside to various agencies to cover places where there's a projected deficit in the general fund. And this transfer is about $700,000 from direct appropriations to the agencies. The second component is comp absence escrow, which is also direct appropriations expense. This transfer is $1.2 million from direct appropriations to agencies where comp absence escrow is causing a deficit. There are a number of intra-agency transfers. So these are all net neutral transfers. If an agency is, in many cases, they might be slightly over in benefits because they're absorbing the cost of comp absence escrow or higher than budgeted benefits cost, but they'll be way under in salaries because they have some turnover from salary savings. So we'll transfer across salaries and benefits so that they don't have a deficit in any major expenditure category. But we'll handle that within the agency budget. There are also a number of transfers related to the fleet fund. So fleet has been hit pretty hard with supply chain issues and ongoing inflation for equipment. So they are anticipating that their supplies by year end will be $800,000 higher than what they have budgeted. This cost is being offset by a number of different sources. One is that they're increasing their revenues related to selling off used vehicles and assets. So that market has been very strong, and they anticipate their actuals will be about $200,000 higher than what they had budgeted. They're also under budget in salaries and benefits due to salary savings and turnover. So they're using some of the savings from personnel to transfer to supplies. And then the remaining costs will be covered through interdepartmental billings. So charging out billing agencies for the work that's being performed on their vehicle. So you'll see that change in the corresponding agency budgets. And then there are also a number of changes to other funds. One is accepting a grant, a $250,000 grant in the Economic Development Division. And then and that's occurring in the grant fund. And then the rest of the changes are related to enterprise funds or other non-general funds. So there is a proposed adjustment to CDA revenues and expenses to account for federal funds from HUD, as well as insurance recovery funds. There are some adjustments to CDBG within the Community Development Division to account for carry forward encumbrances and federal emergency rental assistance funds. And then in Gulf, they've had another very strong year. So there's an increase to revenues that's offset by increasing expenses related to providing additional services. And then there are similar types of changes where there's an adjustment to revenues to account for additional expenses in landfill, parking, metro, Monona Terrace, and water. And then in the capital budget, there are two projects that are requesting an increase in budget authority for the project, and both of these projects are funded not through borrowing, but other sources. So the first is within the Parks Division. There's an Olin Parks beautification project that is requesting to increase the project budget funded through the Olin Trust Reserve. And the East-West Bus Rapid Transit project in the transportation budget is recognizing some additional grant funds that came in after the budget was adopted. So there's no borrowing associated. And then the last piece of the resolution relates to compliance with federal arbitrage rules. So within, there were several capital projects that were identified as not spending down the full amount of borrowing proceeds within the timeframe required by the IRS. So the resolution swaps proceeds from geo borrowing across projects to comply with these rules. There's no increase in borrowing or budget authority. It just changes the sequence of the borrowing for some projects. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer more specific questions.
Thank you, Christine. That was quite comprehensive. Questions, Alder Vittiver?
My question is about the endowment for the homeless services. I'm having trouble understanding why we can't create the endowment by the end of the year. Because I think of an endowment as putting money into a fund and then letting it grow. So maybe you can explain more about that. Thanks.
I'm going to punt that to Jim since he turned his camera on.
Alder, I think it's really a matter of wanting to be as strategic as we can be about setting up that endowment. And we're collecting information from a lot of folks in the private sector that we hope to be partnering with in funding that endowment. So we're soliciting and digesting that feedback, and just didn't want to act hastily and commit that funding in the last month of the year without being comfortable and confident that we're doing it in the best way that we can. It's really not much more than that.
Thanks, Jim. Other questions? Alder Vivier?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Christine, for the presentation. I do have a couple of questions about the year-end appropriation resolution. The first is just beginning with revenues. Can you share with us where your team is projecting building permit revenues to be at the end of the year? I recall at the mid-year projection, you had anticipated that they would be down. I'm just wondering where they've ended up.
I can jump in on that, Alder Vivier.
Thank you, Dave.
So building permits are projected compared to budget to be down around 900,000 compared to budget. The budget was 6.2 million. We're estimating now about 5.3 million in building permit revenues.
And we anticipated that in the 2024 adopted budget operating.
Yeah,
budget.
The estimate for 2024 is 5.7 million.
Thank you. And then is it fair to say that investment interest, Dave, more than covered that shortfall then? Just very generally speaking.
Yes, investment earnings are up quite a bit. So just to give you some contrast, just probably around a year and a half ago, our sort of average percentage earnings in the portfolio was less than 0.5%. It's now above 5%. So that's quite a dramatic increase. We're estimating for 2023, interest earnings will be about $8.4 million. We had budgeted $4 million.
Very dramatic.
Yep.
And then I just wanted to ask a couple of questions about our two large public safety agencies and appreciate that they're both represented here tonight in the meeting. But first, I do want to recognize that this is the first time that I recall in several years where the fire department is hardly called out at all in the year-end appropriation resolution. But if it wasn't for the absence escrow, they wouldn't be mentioned at all in the resolution. And I don't know if Chief Carbon wishes to address this or the budget staff, but is it as general as just saying that the permanent salaries and that were so under budget and the overtime more or less offset each other? I do recall, you know, a year ago we did try to address the significant fire department overtime deficit in the adopted 23 operating budget. And so I'm sure that helped as well. I don't know, again, if Chief wishes to speak to this or the budget staff. If Betsy has generously turned on her camera. Thank you, Betsy.
Sure. Yeah, the salary savings and permanent salaries are covering the deficit, and overtime, the overtime deficit is about $1.9 million. But they have, without their budgeted salary savings, $2.8 million savings in perm salaries. So overall, that major is projected to be right about at budget.
Yeah, I saw that. Again, I was surprised. Am I remembering correctly, Betsy, that for the last several years, that just hasn't been the case? Is that because fire was just more dramatically over budget and overtime due to and amongst staffing? Well,
I think their salary savings are higher this year, too, in the permanent staffing.
The salary savings are higher?
Yes.
Than they have been the last few years?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that, Betsy. And I don't think this question is for you as it relates to police, because I see that Assistant Chief Patterson is with us. And so thank you, JP, for being with us. Obviously, there's not as much as I'd like to appreciate that fire isn't over budget. I am a little disappointed, of course, for your department, because correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason why you're so under budget is because your retirements and resignations continue at a significant pace. How do this year's retirements and resignations compare to the last few years?
Thanks for the question, Alder. Pretty close, I guess, to the previous couple of years. I don't recall the exact number of retirements and resignations. I could get that for you quickly, but I can't recall it off the top of my head at this point last year. But right now we're hovering around 34, I believe, retirements and resignations on the year. So that obviously is, leading to significant savings again this year. There's some savings on the supplies and services side as well. A couple reasons that, we had that LEA grant opportunity earlier this year that helped offset some service and supply costs for us from the state. And then we've really never let go of the early pandemic purchasing processes that we put in place in 2020. And so captains are still required to review every purchase request with me. So it's really, I think, led to more critical decisions around purchasing and ultimately some savings as well.
Thank you. And kind of continue with the retirement resignation theme. How are Academy applications trending for next year's classes? And I presume there's an accelerated class as well.
We have an accelerated group starting actually on Wednesday of this week. So it'll be a smaller class of seven officers from around the state of Wisconsin. We have one out-of-state person joining us on Wednesday. Applications are unfortunately not trending up like we'd like to see them, but I can tell you, because I'm involved with the hiring process, obviously, the quality of the applications has improved from the last few years. So we are still seeing quality applicants. We'd like to see, obviously, more applications, but they're still trending a little lower than they have, compared to like 10 years ago or something.
Thank you. I'm glad there's some glimmer of hope in terms of the quality, that's for sure. And it's obviously a national issue. It's not something that's only affecting us at MPD, right?
That's right. It's law enforcement
careers. Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah. And then just lastly, JP, do you know generally in terms of your overtime budget? Obviously, all the years I've been on this committee, police overtime used to be a significant concern, and it just hasn't been in recent years. Do you know what your projection is for this year in terms of how much you might be over budget for OT?
Right now, and Betsy, please chime in if I misspeak, but I believe we're projecting to be about $300,000 over budget this year. So not as good as last year. Last year, we came in almost exactly at budget, but we're going to be over this year.
Thank you. Betsy, did you want to just confirm?
Yeah, we were a little lower when we did the projection in October. So, but 300 is definitely in the ballpark.
Thank you. It certainly is in the way it has been in some prior years. Yeah. Well, thank you all very much. I appreciate that. And then I just had one last thing, Mayor. It's not a question, but just in case the finance staff hadn't noticed, I did note a typo in the resolution where there's an extra zero in the resolution text relating to transfers across the major expenditure categories for HR. There's an extra zero that's pretty apparent. I think that probably you've already caught, Christine, but just in case you hadn't seen that.
We can correct that after a substitute.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Thank you all. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. Appreciate your close reading. Other questions? Seeing no other questions on item 49, then it's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of item 49? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote. And that will take us to item 50, which is Legistar 80968, discussion on the meeting format for the 2024 Finance Committee. So we collectively have to instruct staff how we would like to meet in 2024, at least for the beginning of the year. I would suggest maybe 6 months. We could continue to meet virtually. We could go in person totally in presumably MMB 215, as once upon a time we did. We could do hybrid, but the only room available to us for that is the council chambers. Or if somebody else has a brilliant idea for another option, we could entertain that as well. But ultimately, be looking for a motion to give staff direction on this. Is there any discussion from the body about your collective desires? Alder Bitiver?
I'll just put in a plug for the way we did it this year, which was online, except for budget deliberations, which we did as hybrid.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Madison?
I was just going to say the same thing as Alder Vitiver, so seconding Alder Vitiver.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Revere?
Thank you, all third, and concur in that sentiment. I just think that this committee, compared to so many others, has such an unprecedented amount of city staff that attends, but more often than not, if they're fortunate, they're only here for a matter of minutes because, as was the case tonight, so much of our business is taken care of on the consent agenda, and it's just a lot more convenient for those city staffers. So I think for their sake, I would continue the current method. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. I'm sensing we're moving towards a consensus. Seeing nods, then perhaps a vote is not necessary, but we can ask staff to replicate for 2024 what we had this year, which, just to restate, would be virtual meetings except for the budget decision meetings, which would then be hybrid. Right. Thank you, Christine. That'll take us to item 51. Which is Legistar 80969. A reminder to please complete your statement of interest forms. I don't know if Dave or Christine, you want to say anything more than that.
I think you all know what to do.
You should all have emails from the clerk with the link to complete those statements of interests. The deadline is early January. So no time like the present. All right. And then for item 52, we will go into closed session. President Curry, would you like to read the notice or would you like me to?
If you have it up right in front of you, that would be great. Thank you.
I do. So when the Finance Committee considers the following matter, it will go into closed session pursuant to sections 19.85 sub 1 sub e of the Wisconsin statutes, which reads as follows. Deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. And If the Finance Committee does vote to go into closed session, notice is hereby given pursuant to Section 19.85 sub 2 of the Wisconsin statutes that it may reconvene in open session without waiting 12 hours as specified in the statute. So then a motion to go into closed session to discuss item 52 would be in order.
So moved.
Is there a second? Moved and seconded to go into closed session. This is a roll call vote. All those in favor, aye. Those opposed, no. And staff will please call the roll.
Council President Curry.
Aye.
Alder Revere.
Aye.
Alder Vindiver.
Aye.
Alder Madison.
Aye.
Alder Evers is excused. Alder Rummel.
Aye.
Mayor, it's unanimous.
Right, with a unanimous vote, we'll go into closed session.
Recording stopped.
And ask our tech staff to let us know when we're ready.
All right, just waiting for the live stream to hop off. All right, we are live streaming. Good to go.
Thank you. So we're coming out of closed session on item 52, which was Legistar 79205, a discussion of a request to refinance increment guarantee payments for a TIF loan to 25 West Main Parking LLC. The Finance Committee discussed various options and negotiating positions and instructed staff on our collective comfort with the options. Staff will proceed accordingly. That is the last item on our agenda tonight. A motion to adjourn would be in order.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of adjournment? Seeing no objection, we are adjourned. Thank you all. Have a good night.